welcome to the very final show of 2016. This is Brain Stew Wrestling, pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. How's everyone this evening? Hope you had a very good Christmas and hope you have a great happy new year. I am Hammy. Joining me in studio is, as always, Michael, no longer hipster punchy, Falcone.
What's going on, guys? It's going to be a fun night tonight. We don't have to bitch about TV shows this week.
No, we have no bitching about TV shows. We're actually going to be very positive tonight. We're going to channel the New Day's inner power of positivity and reflect. We're going to do a lot of reflecting tonight on the year that was 2016. Now, a lot of people are saying that 2016 was literally the worst year ever, like ZOMG. But if you're a pro wrestling slash combat sports fan, 2016 was a pretty good year.
Outside of pro wrestling combat sports, 2016 was an unmitigated shit show.
Yeah, 2016 is basically the James Ellsworth of years, unless you're a pro wrestling MMA fan.
Because at one point, James Ellsworth was popular.
At one point, 2016 was a good year, too. We started off strong, Mike, and let's just get right into our first memorable moment of the year. We started off 2016 with AJ Styles, someone who we never, ever thought would debut in WWE.
Making his debut at the Rumble.
Number three of all numbers, too.
And the news of him signing leaked earlier that month because, like, when WWE did their raid of New Japan and signed AJ Styles, Gallows, Anderson, and Shinsuke Nakamura, two of which have had a big impact in the company, and the middle two that I mentioned have been misused horribly. But like that was a great great batch of signings for WWE. They've been just, and it continued them being on a tear when it comes to talent acquisition.
WWE has been on a hiring spree, and there's rumors going around that WWE is simply just hiring people for the sake of hiring people. WWE is raiding Ring of Honor soon and a bunch of other small independent promotions. I still hope Adam Cole gets a chance to shine in WWE. I still hope a lot of the very talented Ring of Honor competitors get a chance at WWE. But this isn't a news-themed episode. This is just a reflection episode tonight. And we are going to have a lot of fun tonight. So let's get right into it. We started 2016 off with a bang with AJ Styles in the Royal Rumble. And we're closing 2016 with probably one of the best zings I've ever heard from a wrestling crowd.
Crap.
Because 2016 wasn't short of really good insults from wrestlers and people on camera to the audience, to each other, to other wrestlers.
Just Kevin Owens alone would give us a veritable highlight reel of insults.
Kevin Owens alone gave us some really memorable zings here, but
oh yeah, no, just you should be wearing my shirt. No, I don't want you to wear my shirt.
If Twitter counts, then
Owens is the master at zingers. To preface this, they were in Chicago for Raw. And SmackDown.
This past Monday.
They were in Chicago for Raw. Naturally, obviously, the Chicago crowd was going to start with a CM Punk chant.
Naturally, they always do.
So, Stephanie probably did the most effective thing to shut those chants down really quick.
So, if you guys could keep that up for about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, you'd last 1 second longer than Punk did.
Whoa! In reference, of course, to CM Punk's UFC 2003 UFC 203 debut,
if we
and ass whooping against Mickey Gall, which we all said on this show, we're cheering for Punk to have a sort of good outing, but he's going up against a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Yeah, he's going to get his ass kicked.
And they probably picked the brown belt in jiu-jitsu so Punk wouldn't have to stand, but
we picked Mickey Gall to win that fight, and sure enough, he did. And Stephanie McMahon with the big old fuck you to the Chicago crowd. I was waiting for someone to reference that ass whooping, and you know what? Someone finally did.
They kind of did, though. Like, a few months ago, like, during one of the Miz-Dolph Ziggler matches, they, like, the first match they had at a pay-per-view after that fight, the Miz and Ziggler pretty much recreated the first two and a half minutes of that match was recreating Punk's UFC debut.
That is true. They recreated that ass whooping that Punk received from Mickey Gall. But 2016 was without some disappointments, some amazing moments, and there were a lot of really good improvements in 2016. We'll get to all that in next, but first, let's give out, because also last show of 2016, Mike, we are giving out our Brain Stew Awards. These awards are meaningless, just like victories on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Or victories and wins and losses on Raw.
Correct, unless you're Sasha Banks and Charlotte, in which case you always win on Raw and then lose immediately at the pay-per-view. But again,
that should have been part of
it. We have several awards to give out here, and we let you, the listeners and the viewers and the users of social media on Twitter, vote on this. We sent out the votes a couple hours ago in preparation for tonight, and you guys responded. So we are going to let you guys decide the winners here, and we are going to tell you guys whether you're right or you're a bunch of morons who don't know what you're talking about. So, I mean that with love. The first award that we're giving out here is the most improved wrestler of 2016. Now, this could be anybody who has ever worked in wrestling. They could have just been debuting last year, this year, or 10 years ago. Who went from a not so good 2015 to an amazing 2016? And your nominations were The Miz, Alexa Bliss, Rusev, or Ty Dillinger. I personally voted for The Miz, because simple fact is, when the brand split happened, they needed a hardcore heel to hold the anchor for SmackDown. And I think The Miz has stepped up greatly. Not to mention the fact that, Mike, he's not only the number one heel on SmackDown, he's probably, arguably, the number one heel in WWE. He's up there at least with Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, and Jericho, and that's some pretty damn good company to be in.
My vote was actually Ty Dillinger. And my emphasis for why is looking at where he was at this point a year ago versus where he is now. He's so over that now whenever the referees do the 10 counts, the fans just chant 10 for every number.
That is true.
Not just at WWE events. They were doing it at Final Battle when the refs were counting. Like, I have 10, 10. Like, that's how over he became. And he went from being a fringe mid-card guy in NXT to being one of the most over wrestlers on their product right now, and someone who didn't have the indie cred that some of the more over guys have to get where he is.
Well, the Twitterverse voted. The results are in. Last place is a really big surprise here, because I thought he would do better. Yeah. Last place with only 9% of votes here is Rusev.
I think he was deserving of votes, because like he went from being, Rusev, to being one of the more entertaining guys on Raw. Like, he's had some pretty funny lines with his character,
both on and off Twitter
as
well.
Like, he's gotten much better. And like, I gave King a write-in vote of Strowman, because like, especially, and the reason why I didn't put Strowman on there is because the body of work for his improvement is not as vast as some of the other body of work. Like, I think Strowman's character really began to like take form with the Sami Zayn feud.
I believe you tweeted this on Raw too. I like it when Strowman's just going out just destroying people and matches.
He essentially, like, between his feud with Sami Zayn, which is making both guys look like $1 million, and him essentially becoming a one-man three-minute warning.
Basically.
Like, he's gotten much, much better over the last month than he was since debuting on the main roster.
All right, and third place.
Third place
is my most improved women's wrestler of the year. If we had a separate category for most improved male and female wrestler, which I think in retrospect we kind of should have, because this woman deserves to be the most improved women's wrestler of the year, and that's Alexa Bliss. She has gone from a NXT rookie to sort of like a doesn't know where she is on the SmackDown roster to now she's a SmackDown Women's Champion and in probably one of the best women's feuds in WWE with Becky Lynch. Now, granted, I will give criticism where criticism is needed, and their matches aren't necessarily the best on the roster, because the best matches go to Sasha Banks and Charlotte.
Okay, my thing with that, though, because I still think Sasha's a better wrestler of her and Charlotte, but Charlotte's been seasoned enough because of her time in NXT, because they could give Charlotte the time to develop in NXT. Whereas, like, they sped up bringing up Alexa Bliss because they needed women to fill the rosters for Raw and SmackDown because of the brand split. So, and someone else is getting, after Tuesday, I think someone else is getting called up, because that the El Luchadora who attacked Becky Lynch, like, I was looking at her because they show a little bit from the mask. She's definitely, like, black, but she's not dark enough to be Naomi, and I think it's Ember Moon. Like, she might be getting called up.
Yeah.
Like, and she did that, like, the kind of curves Naomi, like, it looks like it's Ember Moon. So they might be bringing her up to feud with Becky Lynch, which would be fantastic.
Which would be great.
And
that leads to number one and number two.
Oh, well, but like I was saying, though, like, with Alexa Bliss, given the fact that they put her in this role, her wrestling's improved, and her as a heel has improved. They gave her the ball and she ran with it more than anyone else, more than Carmella, more than anyone else, more than Nia Jax.
The Wicked Witch of SmackDown Live, Alexa Bliss, has shown that she is not only killing it with her promos, killing it with her in-ring style, her character, her look. She's been doing great in ring too, and I don't know if you saw it on this past Tuesday SmackDown.
The arm thing.
That arm bar, that stretched out arm.
She's got to be double jointed.
Has to be, because that looks straight out of memory banks of Sid Vicious.
Like, it looked to me like when Frank Mir's broke Tim Sylvia's arm in the UFC.
Yes, I didn't want to make a UFC reference there, but yes, you're absolutely right. It looked broken. Let's just say that.
She's
broken.
Double jointed. But.
Well, she was a competitive bodybuilder and a gymnast for years. So gymnasts, I know nothing about being a gymnast here, but I can only assume that being a gymnast means your joints get very flexible while doing those routines. But in terms of who is the most improved wrestler, voted by you guys on Twitter, you guys voted with 36% of the vote. You guys voted The Miz as the most improved wrestler. And you know what? I agree with that. I think he is hands down the most improved wrestler in the world today. Simply because he went from comical relief, basically, to now being one of the most really good heels. And
okay, I do want to point out, I almost voted The Miz. I've got my criticisms about, like, I've got my criticism about him.
Well, no one's perfect. I mean, yeah, I even have criticism of AJ Styles, and I think he's borderline perfect.
No, but like the run he's having now, one of my criticisms, part of them are in the way he's being eventually was portrayed a bit. Like, him and Maryse had a good dynamic when she was acting like the bitchy publicist. And then they just made her your average female heel manager, and it annoyed me because up until that Ziggler match, every single Miz title defense had fuckery. And yeah, I get the manager has to help, but like, it was making it, like, it was hurting his run a little bit. And I think that's why they had her not get involved in that ladder match against Ziggler, to give him that win where he didn't need help.
Fair enough. That's fair enough criticism.
And I find it hard to believe that and this is more based on what I know real life. I find it hard to believe the Miz's character about him feeling like he's getting snubbed by certain people in power, when he's the guy who's gotten more chances than anyone. But at the same time, I recognize that this is the best run he's had in his whole career, even better than his world title run when he beat John Cena in the main event, because they didn't even give him a clean win. They just had The Rock interfere. But this is his best run in the company.
The next award we have here is the promo of the year. And speaking of The Miz, our nominations for the promo of the year were Ambrose, Cena, and Styles in that three-way promo going into No Mercy, I believe, when Ambrose called Cena a no-good part-timer and that he's become what he's hated. Cena had a great zing towards Styles and AJ. That whole three-way promo is your first nomination. Daniel Bryan coming out and retiring and melting all of our hearts as wrestling fans.
I watched that promo again, and holy crap, I forgot
just
how powerful
the
it was.
Emotion that he poured into that. The Miz shoots on Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack, which we remember just covering a couple weeks ago, just saying like, oh my God, like,
it was
this is what we're missing from the, not only the Miz, but from heels in general. This is what it's like to be a heel.
And now they have the Miz bring up like Ambrose and Renee Young's
yes!
real life relationship. Like,
again, most improved wrestler of 2016 is the Miz. And I completely agree with that. And your final nomination is Charlotte dismissing her father, Ric Flair's services and smacking him. In last place of this category, with 0% of the votes, no one voted for this, was Charlotte slapping Ric Flair, which I'm surprised because that was, to me, I know I'm, not everyone on this show shares my view of this. I think that was Charlotte's breaking point, and I think that was her breaking away moment and becoming the dominant singles competitor that she is now.
All right, I do have my issues with Charlotte. And we'll get into them when we talk about Women's Wrestler of the Year. But I've got my issues with, A, how she's portrayed, but also, like, certain aspects as to why, like, I couldn't vote this or couldn't vote her Women's Wrestler of the Year. But, like, all right, you know, I'll get into them now. I feel like a lot of people who are credit, a lot of the people, not everyone. Like, I know, like, you aren't, or but there's a lot of fans who credit her for being such a good heel. But she's doing the same exact thing, but to the women's wrestlers, that people critique Stephanie for doing to the male wrestlers.
That's fair enough.
Like, I think this run of her as a heel is so much worse than her heel run in NXT.
One could argue that, but also,
like, her NXT heel run is far better. And honestly, I think the dynamic should have been Sasha heel, Charlotte face.
And also, going back to what I was criticizing, the way that Sasha and Charlotte's feud was
yeah.
booked. When Sasha won on Raw, I'm like, okay, here we go again. She won on Raw. That means Charlotte's going to win at the next pay-per-view. And sure enough, they did it three times. I call that lazy booking.
Yeah, it's.
But in the bigger picture here, one could argue that the when Charlotte eventually loses on pay-per-view, that's going to be a even bigger moment in the world of women's wrestling.
Also, what I like about the fact they've been hot potatoing it, and they cut it out of Raw. Like, they cut, or when they posted the segment on YouTube, Big E had a, they were like, oh, Ric Flair lost the title 16 times. And Big E's like, at Charlotte's rate, that'll happen to her in a month.
I do remember watching that as it happened. Like, all right, Big E's got a nice set there.
Yeah,
that was a set of balls to see.
You could tell that was improvised because they cut that shit out.
Where was I? Third place promo of the year, as voted by you guys on Twitter. I'm surprised this got third place. I honestly am. Daniel Bryan's retirement speech.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that got third place, Mike.
I thought it would have ranked a lot higher. That was, I mean, maybe some people were like, it's touching, but it's not a promo, it's a speech. Like a retire, which, I mean, like, whereas the same people would have probably voted for Mark Henry's fake retirement speech because that was full on promo. But I thought that should have been a much stronger contender than it was.
Simply, I guess, do wrestling fans separate promo versus real speech? I mean,
some people could be voting that way.
I mean, look at Edge. When he
yeah,
retired,
oh, that was,
when he retired, he gave just a heartfelt speech,
yeah.
but it wasn't a promo.
Yeah.
It wasn't a
all right, I'm saying that trying to justify why it got a lot fewer votes than I thought it would. Because I thought it would have been a stronger contender than it was.
And that leaves the final two. Ambrose Cena Styles on SmackDown.
Which was Cena's best promo work of the year. AJ's strongest promo work of the year.
And Ambrose,
Ambrose's best of the year.
But, like, that came in second place, Mike, with 46% of the vote. The
Miz's
shoot on Daniel Bryan takes the win here. And to show people what we're talking about here, here's a little snippet of that epic promo.
I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second.
Okay.
The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10 plus years. I have never, never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward. Okay, I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. And you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie
friends?
Okay,
I think you need to calm. That's not what this show's
me
about.
And GM, have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward.
Yeah. That he went on for another good 3 minutes or so just talking about how he is bringing prestige back to the Intercontinental title. And he looked directly in the camera and gave just a classic heel promo.
Yeah.
Bravo to The Miz. I really can't argue with that, with being your promo of the year. I voted for it, and I'm glad that it got promo of the year.
I could, like, that was one where I can't remember if I voted for that one or the AJ Cena, but, like, that was one where it was, like, two of the best promos of the year in the same category. Like, it was a tough one.
It was a really tough one to do because I was leaning towards voting for Ambrose, Cena, and Styles, but there was something that was just missing from SmackDown, and especially from The Miz. I mean, he's this multiple-time Intercontinental Champion. He has a title. Clearly, they trust him with the mid-card title, but we're just missing something. He comes off as like this douchebag of a heel, but I miss this really good, evil heel in The Miz, and he just gave us the best heel promo of the year. And not just heel promo of the year, the best promo of the year, hands down. Bravo to The Miz. And speaking of promos, we had our fair share of great promos this year. Mike, what were some of your favorites?
Aside from the ones that were mentioned, any combination of
any honorable mentions, let's just say.
Any promo of Team Chris and Kevin, or Kevin and Chris, whichever way you want to do it. They've, like, especially
Jericho.
Or Jericho, or Team Best Friends, whichever. But, like, that, because their work was so great, but their best was when they had everyone convinced they were breaking up, like, as far as who to blame for losing the Survivor Series match. But, like, you know whose fault it is? Roman Reigns.
You, in unison, just saying Roman Reigns.
And then Sami Zayn's promo work with Mick Foley the last month.
That was a surprise because, honestly, I thought I said on this very program, Mike, that this, between Foley and Zayn, was going to be his excuse or the company's excuse for trading him to SmackDown and letting him go to SmackDown, but I was wrong.
No, once I saw that promo, especially the one where he's talking about being traded, where they're like, For Eva Marie.
I'm worth 1,000 Eva Maries.
Yeah, once they said Eva Marie, I realized, no, he's not being traded. This is part of building him to being a main man.
Right.
To being like their next Daniel Bryan, because that's what he has the tools to be.
And Foley, you remember seeing Foley's teeth falling out.
Yeah. Like
Foley's teeth fell out, and he was still just going with it. He just knocked him on the floor, just knocked him back in his pocket.
The match that happened, like the pay-per-view match with him and Strowman, was a great story match.
Yeah, it wasn't technically perfect, but it was good storytelling.
Strowman's limited, but Zayn made him look like $1 million, and like, and they made it done in a way where Strowman lost but didn't take a pin. And it looked like Sami Zayn was just about to beat Strowman.
Because Strowman has just been dominating everyone lately.
And now either Sami Zayn wins this match somehow, like via some shenanigans to keep him pinned down, or Strowman wins but like Zayn doesn't get pinned. So like either way, the loser doesn't lose anything from their status.
One thing that we witnessed in 2016 was a very strong revival of the tag team division. We just recently saw the New Day break Demolition's record for the longest reigning tag team reign in history, 480-something days. And then, of course, they lost it at Roadblock. I mean, with the name Roadblock, end of the line. I mean, we kind of knew that the New Day was going to lose as soon as they beat the record, which kind of sucks. It made that match a little predictable, but nevertheless, we can't get away from the New Day's accomplishments in WWE. They have been a consistently entertaining tag team, and we have seen the rise of a lot of great and wonderful tag teams. There are a few tag teams that had matches that we would dare call a match of the year contender.
Oh, yeah.
We just recently had one at Ring of Honor at Final Battle. There was a lot of great tag team wrestling that was in 2016. And that brings us to our best tag team, or the best faction, or the best stable. Your nominees are The New Day, Sheamus and Cesaro, DIY, or The Revival. Those are your four nominations. And you guys, predictably so, chose The New Day to be the best tag team of 2016.
I think what surprised me, a happy surprise though, is second place was DIY.
That's a very big surprise too. But New Day, you have to give The New Day the credit, because they are now the longest tag team reign in WWE history. You can't take that away from them for a tag team. That's the major accomplishment. And I hope they win the tag team titles back for a third reign. So can't really complain with the New Day. Best tag team of the year.
I think we'll be getting a heel turn from them, though, at some point.
I think they've always been a heel. They just got over with the fans with being heelish. I'm going to switch it up here, Mike. I'm going to pull an audible.
Okay.
Because the next category on the list is, I think, deserves a little bit bigger nomination here. We had a lot of 2016 great moments, and we had a lot of bad 2016 moments, both in the world of pro wrestling and in real life. John Oliver on Last Week Tonight even had an entire video segment where he was basically just saying, "Fuck you, 2016." He had an entire video called Fuck You 2016. So with that, we present our Fuck You 2016 moment of the year. What was the most embarrassing moment that we saw?
Well, I don't say just embarrassing. Like, it could be like the most heart-wrenching moment. Like, just like the worst
embarrassing
moment of the year.
Embarrassing slash... Yeah, okay. Your nominees are Dana and Bailey arm wrestling, Gallows and Anderson with their Old Day segment, which was oof. Finn Balor getting injured as soon as he won the Universal title.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan's retirement from in-ring competition. I personally voted for the Old Day because that moment got me saying, why am I watching this?
Yeah, I think I voted Old Day as well. I think I voted Old Day.
In fourth place, tied for third, Dana and Bailey arm wrestling and Finn Balor getting injured are tied for third. Mm-hmm. In second place is what we voted for, Old Day. And you guys, the fans, nominated Daniel Bryan's retirement speech as the Fuck You 2016 moment of the year. And you know what? Can't really discredit you on that. So far, you guys have been really good with your picks.
Yeah, like they've been
so far, fantastic. I haven't had any like executive decisions to be made here. So I'm going with this. Daniel Bryan's retirement. The guy single-handedly, along with his fans, got WWE to change the main event of WrestleMania 30. Beat Triple H clean in the opening contest of WrestleMania 30, and won via submission over the guy who was originally supposed to win the main event of WrestleMania 30 in Batista, and become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the guy who WWE never imagined would be as popular as they were, never wanted him to be as popular as they were. And this was at the very end of Vince McMahon's obsession with like 6 foot eight bodybuilders.
Yeah,
the steroid bodybuilders, to where the indie darling in Daniel Bryan won the main event of WrestleMania
and
30.
Think about every people who have won the title since then.
And beat Triple H clean in a 2014 at this point, match of the year candidate.
And sure, like the two champions after Daniel Bryan were John Cena and Brock Lesnar. But after that, like we had almost a year of Seth Rollins as champion.
And now Kevin Owens is champion and AJ Styles is champion. Yeah, so
AJ Styles, Ambrose won the title at one point. Like we've had some like
and we have said and acknowledged on this program that if it wasn't for guys like CM Punk winning the title and having that 430 whatever days as many as he had, that wouldn't have paved the way for Daniel Bryan. But I think Daniel Bryan is the guy that that finally got Vince McMahon to say, okay, maybe I should embrace the smaller guys and let them take over and run the show.
Punk opened the door for Daniel Bryan, who busted down the wall for everyone else who's getting signed now.
That's fair enough. Punk got one foot in the door for indie darling wrestlers. Daniel Bryan just bursted it open.
Yeah.
And to see him retire, we knew it was coming. We didn't want it to happen. We knew he still could go. We knew he still wanted to go, but the doctors thankfully WWE was stubborn with this, and they told him to get more tests because it proved that he just can't do it. Yeah, like there's no one in the world that would be like confident that Daniel Bryan would be 100% risk free if he got back in the ring. So you know what? To see someone give up the thing that he loves more than anything in the world because he physically can't do it anymore is it really is, pun intended here, the fuck you 2016 moment of the year. That was the most gut-wrenching, heartbreaking thing of 2016 in the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah. Like, it was the, like, it was such a, because I was holding out hope that he was going to be able to come back. And then that happened, and I was like, fuck.
All right, our next award here. Before I set this up, 2016 has had some incredible music associated with wrestling. We saw the complete transition from Jim Johnston, the original composer of WWE music, the one who created who composed Vince McMahon's enter theme, Triple H's old My Time thing, which is to me is still the greatest enter theme ever.
That was a backing band, and actually the singer of that band died this year too.
Seriously, fuck you, 2016. Jim Johnston composed almost all the classic WWE/WWF entrance themes. We had some great music, and let's be honest here, this is a strictly WWE category because a lot of independent promotions, they use real songs that have been recorded already. TNA, they have just basically what if you make an Apple Loops, and Ring of Honor, they use a lot of Apple Loop type of music and entrance themes. They don't have like real original songs created just for your entrance, and WWE has the budget and the resources to be able to do that.
And
in 2016, we saw the transition from Jim Johnston
to the CFOs.
CFOs, and we've been calling them CFOs, and we've been calling them wrong this whole time. Yeah. It's the CFOs,
and like here's the thing too: like they hire, and then we're working with both of them at the same time for a while, for like a year or two, and this year's when they ditched Jim Johnston and went with the CFOs, and their themes are much, and towards the end of his turn, like the amount of memorable theme songs that Jim Johnston would make up weren't as like
memorable.
Yeah, not. I think the last memorable theme he made was The Shield.
Yeah, I think that's
and
the last.
You can't count Daniel Bryan's because Daniel Bryan was Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
And he's also made some bad ones, like Stephanie's current theme, the Bella Twins theme.
You can fucking look, but you get my girlfriend's favorite entrance theme.
The lyrics are literally the rules for a lap dance room.
Or a first date.
Yeah, yeah.
Or trying to hook up with a girl in the club.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's the worst.
And it's just as bad of a song as you would listen to in a club.
And there's, true. There's been some great themes, though, from CFOs this year.
Now, our nominations, and remember, they had to meet two stipulations here. One, it had to be an original song composed just for that wrestler. It couldn't have been a song released in 2016 by a major label recording artist that was just adopted. It had to be an original song composed purposely
for that wrestler,
and it had to debut in 2016.
Yep.
So our nominations, and I have a little bit of, and I have there, I have the songs here. Our number one,
number four,
our first nomination.
Yeah.
Around the World, aka Rich Swann.
Again, he's going to be a breakout star of that division, too.
Now, these nominations, they had to meet a little bit of criteria as well with us that get nominated, because
it's memorable.
It had to be catchy. It had to be memorable. And if we saw the crowds chanting along with it consistently, that got an instant nod.
At the end of this?
So that's the first nomination. The second nomination.
Glorious.
Yes!
No, I won't give in.
There's a video on YouTube of the CFOs
making it,
of how they made this. And they had like 40 different background vocals in there with a violin going along with it. It's really cool how they showed you how, like, they musically created it. But
the crowd always sings when this song happens when he's got a match. It was part of a viral thing, the Glorious Bomb.
Glorious Bomb was fantastic.
Yeah, which you can thank DIY for that one. Like, it's just one of the catchiest themes of the year.
I gotta admit here. This was the hardest category for me to vote for because
I voted for this one because of how viral it went at one point.
That was a certain reason to vote for it. Our third nomination. The Rising Sun, a.k.a. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
We saw him first debut against Sami Zayn.
It's such a good
at NXT
song,
Dallas. And this is self-explanatory, Mike, because when Nakamura comes out,
it's just
the crowd erupts in unison singing the song.
Yep.
And even at NXT Brooklyn, Nakamura came out with Lee England Jr. And playing him to the ring. And just listen to this crowd. That is an arena of 17,000 people erupting in unison, singing along to this song. If we're going to have a bonus category of entrance of the year, I love The Undertaker, don't get me wrong. He still has the coolest entrance and gimmick in pro wrestling history. But for 2016 entrance, this specific entrance at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, you had Lee England Jr. actually playing the violin to the ring, and Nakamura just absorbing all the energy with the crowd. Ah. And what an amazing entrance this was.
I think the best the best description of Nakamura was from What Culture, and I think it was something to the effect of a Japanese Michael Jackson mixed with Mick Jagger with the hammer from Old Boy for knees.
That is fair. That is a very good description.
Which, by the way, guys, watch What Culture Wrestling. Me and King have gushed about them. Hammy, I think you should watch them as well.
Oh, I watch them all the time.
The perfect level of snark for it's fan fucking tastic.
Perfect combination of snark and actual criticism. Look at that. Ah, how can you vote against Nakamura's
but
entrance?
Again, though, like, this was a the fantastic year for themes. Like, there's some, like, this was,
I gotta admit, important categories like match of the year, feud of the year, pay per view of the year. The major important ones, and we're just focused on entrance themes for marking out like little kids here.
Like, but that entrance themes are important to wrestler. And winner.
And finally,
the
fourth nomination ends the
winner.
And the winner.
And this was a close one.
Of entrance theme of 2016. Yeah.
This literally probably won by a vote or two. Yeah.
Phenomenal, a.k.a. AJ Styles. And I gotta be honest here. This might be my favorite entrance theme. But Nakamura's theme, I'm going to take an executive decision here and disagree with the voters who voted for this. I think Nakamura absolutely, hands down, deserves entrance theme of the year.
But that's, no, there's all the top three absolutely deserve it, though.
So, yeah, like, that's the thing.
We've got to go. You can't, like, you can't
make a great argument for either or. That,
so, no, we're not going against the voters because you can't make an argument. You can't.
Heel turn.
You can make an argument with one, but it's hard to make the argument against the other two.
The reason why, and you know, I have a very valid reason why I'm voting against it, because AJ Styles' theme, while very catchy, very awesome, very, it fits him perfectly, every time it plays in the crowd, they don't erupt in unison and sing the song like they do for Nakamura. And for that reason, and that reason only, every time Nakamura comes to the ring, you can almost never hear his entrance theme because the crowd is so loud singing along with it.
Depends on where, like, not so much in Full Sail, but when they do the takeovers, because Full Sail's a smaller crowd. But
okay.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, I'm sticking with the crowd. We're sticking with the crowd votes, but...
I'm just disagreeing with it.
Yeah, like, I'm kind of agreeing with it, but I'm kind of like, it could have gone so many different ways. I voted for Rude.
So I voted for Nakamura. You guys voted for AJ Styles. So we're going to have to go with it. Your 2016 entrance theme of the year, the thing is, AJ Styles.
I don't even mind the fact that AJ won.
I don't mind it either. It's a fantastic entrance theme. It's catchy as hell.
Like, literally,
I even played on Spotify a few times just listening to, like, when I'm posting a show and I just want to get, like, pumped up for whatever reason, just to get a second burst of energy to post a show at night. Yeah. They don't want none. No, they don't want none. I do it all the time.
We're not going to do, like, percentage breakdowns, but I want to show you guys how close this was. AJ won with 37%. Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura were tied for second place with 30% each, and then Swan had, like, 3%. But, like, the top three, that's how literally a vote or two decided this.
It was close, guys. It was really close.
It wasn't swung by either myself or Hammy.
No, it was close. But your 2016 entrance theme of the year, the phenomenal AJ Styles. Okay.
Hammy's favorite.
No, before that, let's get to one of the big ones here, guys.
All right.
Your women's wrestler of the year. This is a big one.
This is a big, especially with the importance that WWE has been putting this year on women's wrestling.
Not only, Mike, did 2016 have a excellent, phenomenal, pun intended, rise in tag team competition. We saw a resurgence of women's wrestling. We saw the ladies get a chance from the Give Divas a Chance movement on social media to now women main eventing pay-per-views, women main eventing Raw, the women's title being brought back on both Raw and SmackDown and changing hands on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, frequently.
And we had a potential feud of the year with Sasha Banks and Charlotte. But your women's wrestler of the year, the nominees are Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Asuka, and Becky Lynch, four very well-deserving women who deserve the award, but you guys, with an overwhelming 67%, vote Sasha Banks as your women's wrestler of the year. And you know what? I may have personally voted for Charlotte, but you guys...
You can make the argument for Sasha. You can actually make arguments for all four.
Not only... You could just make the argument for Sasha just by saying her name.
Yeah.
Women's wrestler of the year? Oh, Sasha Banks.
Yeah. Just who's your favorite? Well, Sasha Banks. Like... And that's a thing, too. Like, and this is one of the categories that I believe got the most non-regular Brain Stew wrestler votes of the...
There are several women I know that are watching wrestling and watching professional wrestling weekly because of the rebranding of women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Think about this, Mike. In 2016, we went from the god-awful tramp stamp butterfly belt in the Divas champion, where they had 3 minutes of screen time most.
Yeah, max.
2 3-minute matches, pie-eating contests, bra and panty matches.
Oh, God.
We went from that
to them basically being treated like the men when it comes to the matches they get.
Not to mention, you look back at WrestleMania 32, Mike, the women stole the show at WrestleMania this year.
Uh-huh.
WrestleMania 32 was not the best WrestleMania. It was certainly the biggest as far as crowd attendance.
The best, though, but they stole the show.
They stole the show as far as in-ring competition goes. The women have stolen the show this year overall, I believe. There have been some great moments from the men, obviously, but in 2016, we saw the women's wrestling not only go back to actual wrestling, but we had Sasha and Charlotte have the first women's Hell in a Cell match.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the first time the women main evented a pay-per-view at Hell in a Cell in the Hell in a Cell match. We saw the rebranding of the Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yep.
And we saw some amazing wrestling from these women. And we say that that's... people who don't watch WWE go, well, you get great women's wrestling everywhere. We know that. We're not saying...
We're aware.
We are well aware.
We're aware that TNA has a once great knockouts division. We're aware that Ring of Honor is now doing the Women of Honor thing.
We are well aware that women get... equal screen time as a men and have phenomenal matches outside WWE.
We're aware of Shimmer. We're aware of the Japanese scenes.
We are well aware of everyone. The reason why this is such a big deal, though, for WWE is because they were notoriously bad for women.
Yeah.
And now in 2016, we saw the women come back.
So I'm going to break down the voting here. I voted Sasha. I thought, because I feel she's the better of the two of her and Charlotte. That's personal preference.
My personal preference is Charlotte because I love the classic bitchy heel.
And I told you my problem with the way they're doing.
And
her
that's
bitchy
a fair
heel.
Argument.
I can't rip them for having Stephanie emasculate the men's roster and be okay with how they're presenting Charlotte and her character. So I would feel hypocritical. And also I feel she's wrestling wise the weakest of the four horsewomen, but she's also the least experienced of the four horsewomen, so that could play into, and she's improved since debuting and she's running with the ball. I have less reasons to not vote for her over Sasha Banks. Part of me, the surprise to me though, was that such a small portion of the vote went to Asuka. She's been fucking dominant this year. Everybody she's faced, she's beaten. And I know it's pro wrestling, whatever, but she's also the best all-around wrestler in their women's divisions.
Yes.
Like, she's going to be a force of nature on the main roster. Like, they put her so strong, they brought Mickie James out to put her over.
And Mickie James recently re-signed with WWE. Yep. She's going to be back on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to two of my favorite awards that we're giving out this year, the worst and best gimmicks of the year. We've been teasing this all year, Mike, with how great the show of professional wrestling has been in 2016. But let's start with the worst and build our way up from there. And you know what? I'm not even going to list the rest of the nominations because you guys voted, rightfully so, the worst gimmick of the year, the pimple on my ass that evolved to a genital wart on my balls, James Ellsworth, as your worst gimmick of the year. If you have any man with two hands, can win a fight. I fucking despise James Ellsworth. I hated him from the start. And now you people are booing him. To which I say, you know what? Good. I was here first. You can now join the boo James Ellsworth bandwagon.
And I defended the use of James Ellsworth for a while because I feel shows need the popular jobber.
Comic relief.
Like the jobber, the comic relief jobber.
Here's if you want thing. A comic relief jobber, you can just go to GoFundMe.com/jobber.
And help Mersh out.
Hey, Mersh.
Yeah, he needs to pay the bills.
A.K.A. pay back his loan sharks.
yes. Otherwise, the jobber will have a busted ACL or busted kneecap.
Or shot, God willing. So 2016 hasn't ended yet.
Sozio from CZW.
Break his knees. he's everything John Taffer isn't. So, worst gimmick of the year, rightfully so.
He's trying to not shut it down.
The only thing that'll get shut down is his electricity. The worst gimmick of the year.
We'll know.
Rightfully so.
We'll know if that happens. We'll have one less live viewer.
So we'll have zero live viewers. Worst gimmick of the year. James Ellsworth. Yeah. Thank you, guys. 60%. Your nominations were Ellsworth, Bo Dallas, Childlike Bailey, where they reverted her back to like a little kiddish character from NXT, and
the Cedric Alexander, Alicia Fox, Noam Dar love triangle, which is just bad.
It's just bad. But thank you, James Ellsworth, for winning Worst Gimmick of the Year. You guys, thank you, listeners. I love it that you voted for him. Now let's go from the worst to the best. The best gimmick of the year. Your nominations are The List of Jericho, Broken Matt Hardy, Gentleman Jack Gallagher, or Dalton Castle. And I've personally voted for Broken Matt Hardy for the sole purpose of not only is it catastrophically entertaining, but Matt Hardy and the Hardys have single-handedly kept TNA afloat. They are carrying that entire company on their back, and they are just, they're making TNA relevant. I voted for Matt Hardy, and there's nothing that anyone can ever say to convince me otherwise that Broken Matt Hardy is not the best gimmick of the year.
I will give the counterpoint, because I voted for The List of Jericho, and here's why I voted for The List of Jericho.
Which one, by the way? With 53% of the vote, The List of Jericho wins best gimmick of the year.
The List of Jericho, like, essentially, Jericho and Matt Hardy did the same thing. They took something that no one else could have done and ran with that fucking ball. Chris Jericho made a potted plant over. He made a clipboard with a pen and paper be fucking over. And more over than some of the guys that, like Roman Reigns, that Vince has been trying to push as a main event guy.
And not to mention the genius of Chris Jericho saying, you want to know what happens? Yeah? You want to know what happens when you make fun of me?
And the creed.
Oh, you guys think I'm going to put him on the list? You guys don't deserve to be on the list. Like, the people, like, they wanted to say, you just made the list.
Yeah, that's how over it is. And credit to Jimmy Jacobs, former Ring of Honor wrestler / manager, for creating that idea. Because he's now a WWE writer. He's the guy who created the List of Jericho. Like, that's probably made his stock in the company much higher because he created the most over thing on either brand.
It's hilarious that not only does it show how great wrestling can be as from an entertainment standpoint, but also shows just, if the List of Jericho is the most over thing in the company, what else is going on in this show?
Also, in third place, which surprised me because he's a newer guy to the company, Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
He's very entertaining.
He's fantastic.
He is entertaining the shit out of me so far.
My favorite now was from Monday, where Aria Davari was like, challenge me to a duel. Who are you, Alexander Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I remember your American history correct, I would be more like Aaron Burr. And slapped him with the glove. It was great. And then, Dalton Castle was nominated because I think his gimmick is fantastic, but he got no votes.
He didn't get any votes.
And his gimmick's, but then again, look at what's on the list and you can see why, but his gimmick is one of these best in the
indies. On the list. I see what he did.
It just made the list.
But Broken Matt Hardy, like, there's nothing you could say that would get me to say that. Delete.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm just saying, like, there's so much.
The List of Jericho is your best gimmick of the year, vote as voted by you, but I will disagree and say Broken Matt Hardy should be it, but we got to go with Twitter and what they vote for. The List of Jericho wins best gimmick of 2016. We're finishing up here, home stretch, guys. Our next award is the Jobber Moment of the Year.
Brought to you by the new web show coming up, Jobber, starring Mersh as...
Wait, it's actually coming up? It's actually going to get made?
Go to GoFundMe.com. Love you, Mersh.
GoFundMe.com/Jobber. Jobber Moment of the Year.
Trying to pause.
Now, what's the story behind this one, Mike?
Okay, so now, this is pretty much when a wrestler is made, like, in quick succession, is made to look like shit. Almost like they're a higher priority, but in this particular moment, they looked no better and no worse than James Ellsworth when he faced Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Your Jobber Moments of the Year. Triple H versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 32. And I personally put this on the list because we knew going into it just how predictable it was going to be. And that basically ruined WrestleMania 32 for us. The main event went on way too long. Mm-hmm. Stephanie overhyped Triple H's entrance, no matter how cool it was. But we knew Reigns was going to win.
Well, yeah, it was a foregone conclusion. My argument was, why I didn't vote for that was because Triple H, he didn't look like a jobber. He won the title. He was champion going in. If this was Daniel Bryan losing in 18 seconds to Sheamus, I would have said yes, absolutely. But it was a long competitive match.
Your next nomination is Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. I can't believe in 2016 I'm saying this, but Brock Lesnar got squashed by Bill Goldberg. And we're going to see what they do with the storyline, but I think it was just a really stupid decision to just have Lesnar job like that. And for that reason, it is your nomination for Jobber of the Year. WrestleMania 32 brought some great memories and some not so good memories. And this one, because I am a very biased fan of this group, the entire Wyatt family buried by The Rock and John Cena at WrestleMania.
In 9 seconds.
Yep, 9 seconds.
No, wasn't it just The Rock?
It was, and then they started to gain up on The Rock, and then Cena comes and rescues him, and they beat up on the Wyatts.
The Wyatts were made to look like... Oh, that's right. Harper lost in 9 seconds to The Rock, and then The Rock and Cena buried the Wyatt family.
Yes. And then your final nomination, Zack Ryder, The Raw after WrestleMania, after shocking everyone and getting his WrestleMania moment.
Then they're like, hey, we're going to pull this right out from under you. Oddly enough, to the last person to have that happen to them at a Raw after WrestleMania, The Miz.
Yeah.
Remember, because for those who forget, a couple years ago, Miz beat Barrett for the Intercontinental title, and then Barrett beat The Miz to win it back the next night.
But with 35% of the vote, the winner of Jobber Moment of the Year is... GoFundMe.com/jobber. The Wyatts versus The Rock at WrestleMania 32. And honestly, what else can be said for this? Other than the Wyatts were going into this year's WrestleMania looking powerful, strong.
Bray was getting some hype to him.
Bray Wyatt has, in my opinion, the coolest character in WWE today.
Braun Strowman was looking like an unstoppable monster of the family with Luke Harper out. Rowan was Rowan. And then just these two guys. Just
The Rock and John Cena, 3 times in a lifetime.
Yep.
They're in the same ring together. Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Trice in a lifetime.
We go from that Jobber Moment of the Year to Markout Moment of the Year. This is quite simply the moment where Mike and I screech like little girls the most. And your nominations are Seth Rollins returns and pedigrees Roman Reigns. Shinsuke Nakamura debuts in WWE at NXT in Dallas. Shane McMahon makes a surprising return. All of those are worthy moments, but nothing compares to your winner. And that, my friends...
Just you should play the audio for this interview.
And that, my friends, well...
But just
the clip just speaks for itself.
And the pop that happens.
Keep the numbers down. Keep the advantage in your corner.
They cut that a lot better than it was actually shown on the pay-per-view, too.
AJ Styles!
Oh, my gosh!
By far, the markout moment of the year. It was not
even
close.
It was at the start of the year, and I remember watching this. I'm like, I am not going to be as excited as a wrestling fan more than I am right now to see this moment.
Yeah.
And because it was perfect. It was so perfectly done.
Here's how perfectly it was done.
New music and the video. For those of you watching on the video podcast, you saw it. It was just I am, and they're like, I am what? I am who? And then when Phenomenal was revealed, we're like, oh shit!
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. That's not like they did some good editing and keeping the audio.
Well, the clip I played was the unseen footage because WWE got a lot of shit for the way they edited
because
actual pay per view.
They're in the pay per view. They just focused on Reigns looking out there, like and not showing what they showed in this clip. Which did it service because you like the fans were like it kind of hurt the moment a little bit, but still it was still the markout moment of the year. It's still won by far,
hands down, the markout moment of the year. Shane McMahon was a very close. It was a close second, but when I say close, I mean it's not even close.
Yeah, not close at all. Like, and that's
I got very excited for Shane McMahon because it was total nostalgic purposes, but nothing compares to how excited I was to see AJ Styles debut in WWE. And it's so powerful of a moment that even today, every time I see AJ Styles walk out with the WWE Championship around his waist, I'm like, I can't believe I'm still living in a time where AJ Styles is WWE Champion. I never, ever thought I would say that sentence. AJ Styles is your WWE Champion. That is hands down markout moment of the year. You guys voted at 53% of the vote, and it's a totally obvious choice here. Our final three awards, Mike. Final three awards. Pay-per-view of the year. What was the best show of the year, guys? We had a lot of great shows. It was a really tough choice.
Yeah, there were some great ones on there. We had, and this was probably our most diverse field when it comes to organizations repped, because it was like two WWE properties, but then we had like a Ring of Honor.
And they weren't even main roster properties.
Yeah, that should be pointed out too. Like, they were not main roster properties.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the main roster didn't have good shows, but in comparison to NXT, New Japan, and Ring of Honor, they were just outclassed in every conceivable way. So nominations for pay-per-view of the year.
First one was New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 10, and I'll do a quick rundown of the main card. The Young Bucks versus Red Dragon versus Matt Sydal and Ricochet. So there was that. Matt Sydal and Ricochet, and, the Briscoes versus Toru Yano defeating the Bullet Club, which is Fale, Tonga, and Takahashi. Jay Lethal versus Michael Elgin, which is a Ring of Honor match, title match. Kushida versus Kenny Omega. GBH, which is Maccabi and Honma, defeating Gallows and Anderson for the tag titles there, because they were leaving after that. Hiroki Goto versus Tetsuya Naito. Shibata versus Ishii, Nakamura versus AJ Styles, and Okada versus Tanahashi. Like, that was a fucking stacked card.
Your next nomination is Reign of Honor Final Battle, which, again, top to bottom, there was not a dullard on that. There was not a dull moment on that card.
No, and, like,
every match was a potential match of the year candidate.
And it featured a lot of great matches. I won't read the whole card because, it's an American-based
card. What were the top three cards? Top three matches?
All right, the main three matches were... there was the three title matches. So there was Marty Scurll defeating Dragon Lee and Will Ospreay for the TV title. There was the Young Bucks beating the Briscoes to defend the Ring of Honor tag titles, and Kyle O'Reilly winning the Ring of Honor title. There was also Cody Rhodes making his Ring of Honor debut and having an epic heel turn. You had Dalton Castle beating Colt Cabana, Silas Young beating Jushin Liger. And the crowning of their six-man tag titles. There was a lot of great stuff going on there.
Okay, and your two NXT cards that were nominated, NXT TakeOver Toronto and NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2.
Okay, so TakeOver Toronto, you had, first off, you had probably the best tag match of the year.
Yeah, if we had to put a separate tag team match of the year versus overall match of the year, if we had to branch that off for tag team match of the year... It's really tough to argue that.
DIY versus the Revival, two out of three falls, had to be on there. Has to be not on there. But yet, Asuka with Mickie James, which is a really good match. Samoa Joe surprising everyone by beating Nakamura. Everyone thought this is going to be Samoa Joe's swan song because he had just lost the title to Nakamura at the last one. And he ended up
winning.
Called
up to the roster.
Yeah.
That was a surprise.
That was, and then he had like the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, which was a decent match. The Authors of Pain beating TM61. It had a great... a great spot with like the crane for the cage at Ellering, and one of the guys in TM61 doing a moonsault from there, and then a hot opener, which is Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger.
Glorious!
Like that entrance for, and then just in general was amazing. Then Brooklyn 2 was the other one, and that one had Austin Aries versus Noé José, Ember Moon debuting against Billy Kay, who I think has the best finisher. Bobby Roode defeating Andrade Almas, The Revival beating Ciampa and Gargano, Asuka defeating Bayley and Nakamura with that great entrance, beating Samoa Joe for the title. Like it, and that
again, stacked card.
Yeah, like such a like that four amazing pay per views.
But you guys voted, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2. As your pay-per-view of the year. And you know what? Not only was that the best WWE show of the year.
That was the best show of the
year. I can watch that over and over and over again and still be entertained by all the matches on that.
Yeah. Like, it was a great... Like, and Wrestle Kingdom 10 is up there as well. But take over Brooklyn. Because, like, Wrestle Kingdom had a lot more matches on there. TakeOver did a lot with the matches they had on there, though.
All right, Mike, here we go. Our three biggest awards. Our three, like, these are the cream of the crop here. Let's start out by announcing your 2016 feud of the year. Our nominations were The Miz and Daniel Bryan. They're still giving us this tease of will Bryan come back? Will he won't come back? AJ Styles and John Cena. Hashtag beat up John Cena. Oh. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. And their match at Battleground being a very good match of the year candidate.
Oh, God. Like, and like.
But I saw this coming.
So did I.
There was nothing that was going to beat this. You guys voted with an overwhelming
majority.
70% of the vote. Sasha Banks and Charlotte is your rivalry of 2016. And you know what?
I want to point out, too, any other year except for this year, the winner would have been Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn.
But with 2016 being the resurgence of women's wrestling.
And just the greatness of
the
AJ
women
versus
the
Cena.
Show, like, the women stealing the show at WrestleMania, the women headline pay-per-views.
Yep.
These are the two best women wrestlers in WWE. There is no question about it. And their feud is historic. This feud, honestly,
this feud, all right,
is up there with Trish and Lita.
No, I'm gonna go one further. This feud is up there with Rock and Austin
for women. Yeah, this was
no
the
in general. Just I'm not even saying for women. I'm saying
feud-wise, you're saying overall,
it's up there with The Rock and Austin.
Wow, that's a bold claim.
It like that's gonna be a feud that's gonna it's gonna stop and then continue, and it's gonna be big every time they go back to it. So it's going to be like, it's going to be this generation's The Rock Austin.
This is my personal favorite award because we've been talking about this all year. Every time there's a amazing match that happens, we're like, that's a match in a year candidate. Guys, if we were to list every match that we said, oh, that's a match in a year candidate because we were so blown away by it, it would be tough. We would need 5 tweets of four options each. We would need 20 options, but we had to narrow it down to 4. We had to narrow it down to
it was a tough one,
4 too. Of the best of the best. Your nominations for match of the year are Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins, AJ Styles versus John Cena, that epic, that classic, yep, at SummerSlam. And honestly, the only reason worth watching SummerSlam 2016. Nakamura versus Sami Zayn at NXT TakeOver Dallas. Nakamura's debut in WWE. And Ricochet versus Will Ospreay.
Which I think you thought was going to win that.
I don't know how anyone could have picked that. I voted for Ricochet and Will Ospreay because there's nothing that would convince me that that's the that there's a match better than that. But you guys apparently disagree
overwhelmingly.
With me. Overwhelmingly
disagree. I even disagreed. I thought Ricochet versus Ospreay was the best, not the best, but like one of the best matches of the year. I think the 6-man tag match in PWG they had against the Bullet Club with Matt Sydal was better than that match. But. I voted for the match that ended up winning.
83% of the vote.
Yeah, that wasn't close.
Shinsuke
at all.
Nakamura versus Sami Zayn is your 2016 match of the year.
I want to point out, I like flippy shit. So like, it's not that I was one of those guys holding that against it, but the thing is, I think not only did they deliver wrestling-wise, and they were the first match in a WWE show to get the Fight Forever chant, but also, this match, like, was a great emotional storytelling match.
This match had everything.
It had it all. It had them like fucking with each other, copying
taunting
each other's
one another, yeah, like, doing each other's moves.
Like it had everything.
Awesome crowd participation.
It was a great exit moment for Zayn and a great entrance for Nakamura. There's just so much. And by the way, the rumors were if Nakamura hadn't passed his physical, Sammy would have won this match. But he did, and now he's the NXT champion there. But like, this match is so much emotion. Because again, you had a charismatic guy in Nakamura. You had a charismatic guy who can play emotion like Sami Zayn can, like no other. Like this is the ingredients of a match that is definitely match of the year.
You could watch it on the WWE Network at NXT TakeOver Dallas.
For $9.99.
Or you could give that $9.99 to GoFundMe.com/jobber. Yes. You can watch this match and be blown away every single time. This was one of the first matches that my girlfriend started watched to get involved with wrestling. She not only loves Nakamura, and thinks that her favorite is Nakamura. But every time you watch this match, Mike, every time you find something new with it. This is one of those matches that that will, if you want to list a reason why you love professional wrestling, you put this match on that list.
Yep.
If you want to know, an essential wrestling match that you need to watch to understand why pro wrestling is such the greatest form of entertainment on the planet, watch that match. I can't disagree with the listeners' choices, even though my personal preference is Ricochet and Will Ospreay, but the audience has spoken, and Nakamura versus Sami Zayn is your match of the year 2016. And then finally, we will close the show with this.
Wrestler of the year.
Wrestler of the year. Who had the best year of 2016? If we had a worse wrestler of the year, it'd be James Ellsworth. But the wrestler of the year.
Well, I mean, there are others that are just as bad.
James Ellsworth. Who had the best 2016? Your nominations. Chris Jericho arguably had his best run in his entire historic career.
Maybe not his best run in his career, but
this his best run.
Like, it's his best run as far as character work. I mean, people have said his in-ring work has slowed down, but that's why he amped up the character work. So he's been crafty in-ring, but he's not at the same pace. But still, he's deserving of being one of the tops of this year.
Next nomination, Shinsuke Nakamura. He went from headline Japan shows to headlining NXT shows.
Started the year beating AJ Styles. And
Has gained an immense United States following in NXT. Kevin Owens, another indie darling who competed everywhere.
Yep. And
is now your Universal Champion on Raw.
And was, a two-time Intercontinental. Or no, he was an Intercontinental Champion going into the year.
Yep.
Had one of the best, another match of the year candidate that we could have put on there against Sami Zayn at Battleground.
Again, if we wanted to list all of our nominations for
it'd be a long
match
list.
Here, it'd be a very long list. But and then there's no point in trying to tease it.
No.
Your winner with 82% of the vote.
AJ Styles. Now,
how can one argue? How can one argue against this? AJ Styles, guys, he went from competing everywhere in the world. He didn't need to come to WWE. He made all the money he's ever going to need.
Now, let's point out how things could have been different, though. Because when AJ signed with WWE, he was in discussions and supposedly agreed with TNA to come back until he got a blow away deal from WWE. Like, they gave him
a
deal.
He said it was a, quote, offer I could not refuse.
Yeah. Now the last time he was on WWE television was on an episode of Metal in 2002, jobbing to Shane Helms.
Oof.
Yeah. So he debuts at the Royal Rumble at number 3. Massive reaction.
Which we saw, Markout Moment of the Year.
Massive reaction. That won Markout Moment of the Year. It should have won that. Like, it's a huge moment. There's nothing that he's done since then that wasn't considered important. He had the Y2 AJ team with Jericho and wound up like feuding with Jericho.
Had a great WrestleMania match with Jericho.
Great match. Jericho won, but it was one of the better matches of that event. Then he got number one contendership for the WWE Championship against Roman Reigns, and he lost those matches, but he made Roman Reigns look like $1 million.
To the point where, Mike, you and I went on the show and were like, did we just see Roman Reigns have a great match? Yeah, we did. Why is that? Oh, that's why.
Because AJ Styles is the fucking best on the planet right now. Then after that, he feuded with John Cena. He beat John Cena due to shenanigans at Money in the Bank. I mean, they gave Cena the win in the way of like him and Enzo and Cass winning a 6-man tag, so AJ was protected.
So they had to finish the feud at SummerSlam. And
AJ beat him clean.
Now, we say this all the time, Mike. There is a very, very short list of people who beat John Cena clean 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. No shenanigans, no outside bullshit. Interference, no weapons. They just beat him clean.
And AJ Styles is one of them. And I'm glad, because he's someone that should be taken.
He joins very rare company that actually beat Cena clean.
Yep.
Not to mention he turns heel.
He turned heel before. He turned heel like with the feud with Cena.
Yes, but he turns heel in the same year he debuts. He feuds with Dean Ambrose. Great feud. He wins the WWE Championship, which, again, that could be a Markout Moment of the Year nomination there. AJ Styles winning the WWE Championship.
Now, let me point out, too, 8 months after debuting, or just under 8 months after debuting with the company, AJ Styles is the WWE Champion.
And the reason why he got there is because, A, his initial reaction from the crowd at the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
because originally Vince McMahon was going to have him just be like a top tier mid card guy. Yeah, he wasn't going to be the face of the company.
Vince didn't know exactly what he had. They just he's definitely a Triple H signing, but Vince is like, oh, he'll be like a Ziggler or something, like an upper mid card guy, get some Intercontinental title runs, yada yada.
Maybe gets a shot at the world title, then lose to Randy Orton at some point.
The consistent reactions from the crowds. The merch sales, I think at one point, he's the top-selling guy merchandise-wise in WWE.
And not to mention, the past big pay-per-view match he had with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
The guy is in his upper 30s.
Did a 450 splash.
He did a 450 splash, springboarding off the side rope, 450 outside of the ring, through Ambrose, through a table. The man does not need to do this.
Yeah. He does.
He has nothing to prove in the ring anymore. And then there he goes and does some of the most amazing in-ring work you will ever see.
And then Hammy's favorite AJ moment of the year came a week or two ago when he killed Ellsworth.
Genital wart on my balls.
And I told everyone, when people were getting worried about the fact that Ellsworth was winning because of fuckery against AJ Styles, I had said, when AJ Styles has a fair match against James Ellsworth, they're going to make him look like Brock Lesnar versus anyone not named Goldberg.
Suplex.
Like, it's going to be a bigger beatdown than Brock Lesnar versus John Cena at SummerSlam. And it was. And
you're
now,
right. You're
like,
right.
They're having Ellsworth still play off the injuries from that match a week later. Like, he's still wearing the neck brace.
Guys, your wrestler of the year, AJ Styles. And I just want to say thank you guys for not only listening to the show, watching the show, but subscribing to the network. You guys don't know how much this means to us when you guys listen, watch, download, stream.
It means
and
so much. Like,
and subscribe to the other shows. Thank you guys for voting on Twitter. This was a lot of fun to do. We will be back. We will keep doing shows consistently. Our goal is to do a show every single week, no ifs, ands, or buts in 2017. Yes. And we will be back next Wednesday night. And because it is New Year's this week, I would be a hack and play that. To all great death be forgot. I would do that. But you know what? I'm going to play the song that should have won Entered Seam of the Year, but you idiots didn't
idiots,
vote for
no,
it.
No, it was a good, like,
heel turn. You idiots didn't vote this as Entered Seam of the Year.
Oh, relax, Bobby the Brain Hamill.
All right, guys,
oh,
seriously.
No. Why two Hamill? You're going to put him on the list?
Yes, you just made the list. And hopefully, you guys have a great, happy, healthy new year. We will see you in 2017.
Yes. Bye from the team Kevin and Chris of podcasts.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Have a safe new year. And we will see you in 2017.
Don't get too drunk.